Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. I'll be looking at one verse of scripture, verse 7. Sarah, Abraham's wife, has been taken by the king of Gerar. His name is Abimelech. And Abraham had said, for fear of his life, he made an agreement with Sarah. This happened in Egypt. Now it's happening in Gerar. He said, when we go into these cities, you tell them that I'm your brother. I'm going to tell them you're my sister. And that's what they did. And the king, Abimelech, took Sarah, based on what Abraham had told him. But God, I love that verse 3, but God Almighty, who rules in heaven and earth, came to Abimelech in a dream. And he told him that the woman that he had taken was another man's wife, and therefore he's liable to be killed by God. I thought about this passage of scripture, Psalm 94:11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. All men. Every person. Now you think, I'm just lost in this thought. God knows everything. Everything that everybody is thinking. He knows the intent. He knows. Nothing is hidden from God. God told him, the woman you've taken is another man's wife. And Abimelech pled innocence. He said, I did what was done, but I did it in the integrity of my heart. He told me that she was his sister. And so I'm innocent. That's basically what he's saying. But that Abimelech might know that it wasn't according to the integrity of his heart that he didn't take Sarah. Therefore, nothing more than pride would be the result of that, but rather she wasn't taken, the Lord told her, because I kept you from taking her and from sinning against me. God intervened. And let's remember this truth right here. When he told him, he said, I kept you from taking her and sinning against me. All sin, ultimately, all sin is against God. It started in the garden. The scripture says when David, he took Bathsheba. Sinned against Bathsheba. He had her husband killed. Sinned against her husband. Murdered him. Had him murdered. Sinned against his family, whoever was involved. But when David confessed his sin in Psalm 51:4, he said, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. The Lord told Abimelech, I kept you from sinning against me. I kept you. I restrained you. I stopped you. Only the Lord possesses the power to restrain any man from doing that which he has the capacity to do. Psalm 76:10, the scripture declares, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Abimelech, like all of us, he didn't commit a fraction of the wickedness that he could have committed had the Lord not hindered him from doing so. It amazes me how people look and say, but you'd never catch me doing that. I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you that that's a foolish statement. That just thinking that, no, I'd have never done that. You're kidding. You're lying to yourself. Don't think that we're not capable of anything. If God doesn't restrain us, the Lord knows how to restrain His people and unbelievers. He knows how. He did Abimelech. He knows how to restrain us. Sickness, taking cares of things that we just hold on to of this world. We think we've got to have that. Got to have that at the expense of worshiping God. God knows how. Best thing in the world God ever does for anybody. Take away their love for things, mess, and stuff, and give them a love for Him. The Apostle Paul, that God Almighty might deliver him, Paul, from being exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations that was given him, gave him a thorn in the flesh. Scripture says a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And reminded Paul, whenever Paul besought the Lord thrice to remove the thorn, here was the Lord's answer: My grace is sufficient for thee. So we must remember, by the grace of God, God restrains us and restrains others. Hold back, withhold. His will is going to be done. And if the Lord turns us and restrains us, changes our course, and we think, I wonder why that happened. God Almighty rules in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. Nobody stays Him. And He's going to rule such that all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God rules. God chastens. God wounds. Scripture says how Almighty God does what He does, you know, in love. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, scourgeth everyone He loves. So being told by the Lord that His deliverance from death was God's work. God kept him. I kept you from touching her. But with that in mind, the Scripture says, verse 7, Now, therefore, restore the man his wife. Now, I got to looking at this verse of Scripture Monday morning. And there was something about this one verse of Scripture that just quickened my heart. One verse, and I truly felt, I need to stay here, and I pray that the Lord allows it. I've told you before, come out of my mouth, the way it's in my heart. But this is a glorious picture, that one verse of Scripture, a glorious picture and type of the restoration and salvation of God's people. And so I'd like to look at it in that light, spiritually. Listen, now therefore restore the man his wife. Now, Sarah is here. She's a picture of the bride of Christ. She's Abraham's wife, but she's a picture of the bride of Christ. And Sarah is in bondage. She's in bondage to one that's not her loving husband. She's Abimelech's got her. He's got her. He's thought that she was Abraham's sister, but he's got her. But she's being held by one that doesn't love her, has no true affection for her. And so here as the bride of Christ, and it's the bride that's always been possessed of the Lord. She's a picture of the church, the elect, the chosen, the select ones. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that He's always possessed. He's everlastingly possessed her, eternally possessed her. How do I know? God doesn't change. If He's the husband of the bride right now, when was He not the husband of the bride? You tell me that, and I'll tell you He changed. He changed in that position. He changed. There's no shadow of turning with God. He's always. And I looked up Hosea 2:19, and it says this. The Lord says, "And I will betroth thee unto me forever." Forever. Looking that word at forever up, here's what it says. Concealed the vanishing point, time out of mind, past or future. The vanishing point. That's something I want in art. You ever take any art classes? You take some art class and it comes to a vanishing point. It comes to just a point. But in theory, if you went to that point, it would always keep going. If it never stopped, it's a vanishing point. That's what it says. That's a definition of it. He says, conceal the vanishing point, time out of mind. I like that. Time out of mind. Forever. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and judgment and in loving kindness and mercies. Young's literal translation says, and I have betrothed thee unto me in righteousness and judgment and kindness and mercy. God doesn't change. So here she's the bride in spiritually. It's a picture of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she's captured. She's in bondage. She's been taken by one that doesn't love her. And so here the Spirit of God sets forth concerning this captivity. How did it come about? How did the bride of Christ come to be in bondage to one that doesn't love her? She's got her. Well, in Adam's transgression, the bride fell into bondage. But remember this. At no time did she ever fall from her relationship to the bridegroom, to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's always been his. Always. Now, you say, how can someone be in Christ, found in Christ, and fall into the bondage of sin? I don't know. I don't know how to explain that. But I can tell you that she's never been separated from the Lord. I love that what Brother Scott said. God puts a man, that's where he keeps a man, right there. Now, don't ask me the depth. I can tell you the truth of it, and I can behold the marvel of it. But to explain all of this, how can God Almighty, you know, be declared one God and be manifest in three persons? And the Father say from heaven concerning the Son that was being baptized and the Spirit of God descending upon him in the form of a dove, and Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How can I explain that? I don't explain it. I just tell you that this is what Scripture says. And whenever God's pleased to reveal the fullness of it, when we see him as he is and we'll know him and be like him, I can't explain that. But I can tell you that Sarah is a picture of a God, the bride, the people of God, and she's in bondage, but she's still Abraham's wife. Well, Abimelech was told to restore her, setting forth the will and good pleasure of Almighty God concerning the bride. You restore her. Sarah's restoration to her husband, to Abraham, would magnify the glorious rescue that is spiritually wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ, the conquering King himself, Lord Jesus. How did Sarah come to be in bondage? A lie. A lie. A half-truth is a lie. She's my sister. Well, technically she's my sister by another mother, you know. Well, when you state something and you conceal half the truth, that's a lie. You didn't tell me everything. So How did she get into bondage to Abimelech? A lie. And in the garden, sin entered this world the same way. Satan lied to Eve. Hath God said, you're going to die. You're not going to die. That's a lie. If God said you're going to die, if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die. He lied to her. God knows in the day you eat, you're going to be like God. You're going to know good from evil. You're going to know all that. A lie. She got into bondage by a lie, and so did mankind. When Satan lied to her, all mankind, when Adam ate of the fruit, not Eve. Adam is the representative. God told Adam that you eat. And when he ate of that fruit, their eyes were opened. And they knew, I'm naked before God. And they hid themselves. They were afraid. And man died spiritually and was in bondage. Now he's in bondage. And from Adam, all mankind that has come has all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. All of us are born into bondage. Bondage to sin, bondage to Satan, and therefore bondage to death. Liable to death. Spiritual, physical, eternal. But the glorious bridegroom, who never has been under the wrath of God, now is in bondage. Bondage to this captivity of Satan and this the glorious bridegroom now has come into this world to save his people from their sins and restore them, deliver them. What, they're in bondage to sin. Sin. Sin's got them. Sin is transgression of the law. How is the Lord going to deliver his people from the bondage of sin? How? He's going to have to be made sin. He's going to have to take and bear them. He's going to have to become them. He's going to have to become sin. He hath made him sin, who knew no sin. So he bore the sin of his people. Bore the sin of his own, of his bride. To deliver her from sin, he had to take it. To deliver her from it, he has to take it himself and become what she is. And he bore it in his own body, the scripture says, at Calvary. Carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And he put away, by bearing our sins, the debt that we owed to the law. What did we owe to the law? Said this last Sunday. What did we owe to the law? Death. That's what we owe. That's what it's going to take. And he died. So here he bore our debt in his body. And now, having borne our debt, he comes in regenerating grace. And the scripture declares that he's having borne our debt. The presence of sin is still there. The debt of it is gone for God's people. Now, because he's borne the debt of it, paid the debt of it, borne the sin of it. Now the scripture says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law. You're not under the regulation for righteousness of the law. We love the law of God. I've said before, whenever somebody talks about the law, you remember this, the law is good. The law is good. It's righteous. It's holy. But under the obligation to keep it, if a man or woman is not saved by the grace of God, Christ hadn't borne their debt, the regulation of the law is still in effect. I'm telling you. But we're not under the the requirements for righteousness of the law. We love it, can't keep it. So the Lord bore our sin. We were in dominion to sin. He took it. He conquered death. How? He died for us. He bore our sins, and the penalty of that sin was death. And he died. The wages, the law is going to be satisfied. I can tell you this. When he bore our debt, the law demanded its penalty be served. And he died. He died in our place, dying for us. He suffered the penalty of the wrath of the law in our stead, was buried, and 3 days later, the Father manifested his victory over death on the behalf of his people and raised him from the dead. Raised for or because of our justification. He's conquered death. He's conquered sin. And concerning Satan, Satan's rule over his people, the adversary of the sheep, he was defeated. First of all, I can tell you this, he was defeated in heaven. Lucifer and a third of the angels raised up, and then he was thrown out of heaven down to the earth. And the power that he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the power of the devil is regulated, delegated is the word I'm looking for. Delegated power. And his power to deceive, was victoriously shown by the Lord Jesus Christ to be resisted on the behalf of his people in the wilderness of his temptation. And soon Satan, according to Revelation 20:10, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. False prophet. Tormented, the scripture says, day and night, forever and ever. So the scripture says in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, now therefore restore the man his wife. There's only one person that can do that spiritually. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he can handle the problem with sin, problem with death, Satan. Restore the man his wife. And he has done that. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to turn with me right here. This is a beautiful picture. Colossians 2. Colossians 2:10. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. You want to talk about restoration? Restoration. Look at this right here. Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and power, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Restore the man, his wife. And the Lord Jesus Christ did. Christ did. Sarah was to be, back in Genesis 20 verse 7, she was to be restored to her husband according to the word of God, who was declared to be a prophet. Verse 7, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He's a prophet. And who is the husband of the sheep but he who is the prophet? Turn to Deuteronomy 18. I want you to look at this one. I love the way the revelation of this scripture. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee. Now look at that word. A capital P prophet. From the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Now that's one of the clearest declarations in Scripture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ being the prophet sent of God. Raised up of God, raised up by God, for God, for no man, the scripture says, took that honor unto himself. He was to be raised up from among his brethren. Therefore, God over all, who is blessed forever, did condescend to take upon himself our nature, be made in the likeness of his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, according to the word spoken by Moses under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, made like unto Moses. That's what Moses said, be made like unto me. How's that? He's the appointed authority over the people of God, with this wonderful difference. Moses was the servant of the Lord. The Lord is God. That's the difference right there. He is a prophet. Therefore, restore the man his wife, for he's a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Now here we behold the sustaining grace, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, as the great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for his people, pleading his own merit on their behalf. Turn with me to John 17 as I wrap this up. John 17. Here he is now. The Lord prays, and the Lord told the Father, he said, I know you ever hear me. You hear me. He always prayed according to the will of his Father. There was one God, one will, one love. Restore the man his wife. He's a prophet. He'll pray for you. And you'll live. He'll pray for you and you'll live. John 17 and verse 6, the scripture says, the Lord praying his high priestly prayer, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now look at verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. I pray for those that you've given me. I'm praying for them. The scripture declares in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Restore the man his wife. He's a prophet. And he'll pray for you. And you'll live. And scripture says in closing, he said, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. You restore her, and if you don't, and here's the spiritual truth concerning that. Well, the natural truth of it is if Abimelech refused to restore Sarah to her husband Abraham. If he was going to arrogantly resist God, I'm not going to have you to rule over me. If he sought only disobedience before God and proceeded to take her and defile her, if that was his intent, I'm going to take her, I'm going to defile her, when God had promised Abraham that by him, by Abraham, we dealt with this last time, Sarah would have a son according to God's promise. If you don't restore her, know for certainty you're going to die. I will tell you this, spiritually speaking, if we bow not to God's declaration of how God restores his people, if we dare to defy him and defy his revelation of truth concerning how he restores his people, and we're bent on disobedience, and we're bent on our way and our will, our path, our thoughts, question God, thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine, all like you. The scripture says that to touch with disrespect the people of God, you restore her. You restore that woman. If you don't, I'll kill you. God Almighty considers an attack, disrespect upon his people. And I know that the people of God have been persecuted, and if they're persecuted, it's only because the Lord allowed them to be persecuted for his glory and their good. But if Almighty God is pleased to reveal this truth, then we need to take it to heart. Almighty God takes it personally when his people are attacked. He considers it an attack upon himself. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Matthew 25:40. Inasmuch as he said this to the goats on his left hand, inasmuch as you've done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And this is the desire of the sheep of God. Psalm 17:8. Keep me as the apple of thine eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The Lord, having told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Sarah, your wife, will have your son. Not Abimelech. He told Abimelech, you touch her, I'm going to kill you. God has magnified his word above all his name. That's Psalm 138:2. He's established that his counsel shall stand, and he will do all his pleasure. Restore the wife to her husband. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. Well, you talk about distinguishing grace. He told Abimelech, he said, you're a dead man. He's a prophet. And here's this one that had said some things about his wife. This is mine. Don't you touch her. She's mine. He's a prophet. He'll pray for you. If you restore her not, know for certainty, you shall die and all that's thine. I pray God bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, Gary.